was asked to address the Parliament of Religions, he chanted the slogan, Mukam Karoti Vachalam, in his own mind. And then he addressed sisters and brothers of America, five words. The whole audience erupted into unending applause. The reason was, previously also some speakers addressed the audience exactly the same words, especially Oriental speakers. But it was just an official applause. Whereas when Swamiji spoke, there was so much of response. The reason was, he really felt that we are all Brahmins. Sisters and brothers means nothing to do with men or women. It is nothing to do with gender. He was looking upon all of them as manifestations of the divinity. They felt because he was a realized person. So, before starting any scripture, say, because it is only by the grace of God we can continue, the teacher can teach, the disciples can understand. This rapport between the student and the teachers can happen only by the grace of God. Now, before studying any scripture, I don't know whether you have been taught, each student must fulfill four conditions or four questions have to be answered. This is called Anubandha Chatushtaya. Very, very practical. What is it? What is the purpose of your class? Why are you attending the class? Now, this is a question not for the teacher, but for the student. Why do I want this class? This is called Prayojana. What is my goal? What do I want to achieve? Second is, are you a fit person to undertake this study? Adhikari. Third question, what is the subject? What is the goal? So the subject must be related to the goal. Yava prayojana adike yava vishaya andare yavadu now study maadta iddevo adike yenu sambandha illade iddare then it doesn't serve the purpose. I want to become a doctor, but I am studying Shakespeare's plays. What is the relationship between these two? There must be a definite relationship should be there. So this is called Vishaya. Vishaya means subject matter. First thing is Prayojana. Second thing is Adhikari. Third thing is what is the subject. Fourth thing is what is the relationship between the Vishaya and the Pustaka. Subject and the book you are studying. Then only the study becomes really fruitful. Supposing there is a student, he wants to become a painter. He is blind. Is he an adhikari? A blind person cannot really paint. Painting, a blind person can become a wonderful musician, but not a painter. Because painting is related to visual, whereas music is related to, do you see the relationship? These four questions, this is called Anubandha Chatushtaya. Chatushtaya means four. Anubandha means related for any endeavor, for any journey to undertake also. So we can also put it in a small example. Somebody wants to climb Mount Everest. What is the prayojana? I want to reach Mount Everest. So, who are you? I am a lame fellow. Is he an adhikari? You see the relationship? Apply this to Bhagavad Gita. This is a shastra. What is the prayojana? So, there could be three prayojanas, three purposes Because what does Bhagavad Gita really teach? Three things. It teaches depth psychology. It teaches dharma. And it teaches moksha. So what are the three subjects? Depth psychology means what? I am not interested in dharma. I am not interested in adhyatmikata. But I am interested in how the mind works and how I can understand the nature of the mind and use it for my purpose. All the great people, great political leaders, etc., they are experts in human psychology. They know how to bend the minds of people. Hitler, for example. So he used to give what is called spontaneous oratory after practicing for 24 hours. Do you follow what I said?
Yes, Mamaji.
Spontaneous oratory after practicing 24. For 24 hours. Is it spontaneous?
No.
It is practiced. It appears to be
spontaneous.
Anyway, we will not go into the subject. What is the prayojana? So, if a person wants to be dharmic, then Bhagavad Gita can guide. If a person wants to understand the nature of the mind, then Bhagavad Gita can teach. Where does it teach? It teaches, you know, two slokas are there. How man courts ruin. Vyayato vishyan pumsa sangaste shupajayate. It is one sloka. Then, Udhare Atmana Atmana. One should lift oneself up by one's own self-effort. There is a beautiful show. If you have studied second chapter, it is all there. What is the way man holds ruin, becomes completely ruined. That is what is described in two slokas, Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsa. Eight steps are there. We know. Were you taught eight steps? Dhyayato Vishaya, go on thinking about objects. Sanghate Shupajayate. So you develop attachment to them. Attachment comes out, you go on talking, go on mixing, then attachment comes. From attachments, Sanghat Sanjayate Kama. Count. Dhyayato, go on thinking. First. What is the second step?
Attachment
comes. Second step. From upstairs is falling down. What is the third step? Kama. I depend upon. I desire that person. I desire that object, whatever it is. Advertisement is based upon the psychology. You go on showing advertisement, and even if you don't know, even if you don't want, after some time, you go and buy it. That is the power of advertisement. Same thing can also work for the good of the people. Kamat krodho vijayate. When the desire is there, it cannot be fulfilled. Then what happens?
Anger
will come. Always when you find somebody angry, a person cannot be angry unless he has a desire, and that desire has been thwarted, frustrated altogether. So now four steps. Dhyanam, Sangha, Kama, Krodha. Krodha, bhavati. Once anger takes over, Sammoha. Sammoha means, as though somebody put a black cloth over us, we can't see what is what, who is who. Sammoha, delusion. Sammoha, Smriti, Vikramaha. Once Sammoha comes, in that order, Smriti means memory. Memory means, you know, it is our memory which makes us act and react. It is the memory which makes us what we are. If I ask you, who are you? How will you answer? Smriti, I am so and so. I am man, I am a woman, so many years old. The daughter of so and so, the son of so and so. Is it not? Once you do this, what is this called? some people in old age are active to accident, they get rid of the memory is affected, amnesia, dementia. You ask them, who are you? They don't know, because our who we are depends upon our relationship. If I don't remember my parents, I can't tell who I am. If I don't know I am the husband, wife, child, or parent of somebody, my identity is totally gone. So smriti, what happens when smriti is there? I know how to behave with the smriti. I know you are Krishnamurti, so I know what is our relationship. My behavior is based upon this understanding of relationship. So I can hug you, but the moment I see you, I can't hug you, because this smriti, I am man, you are a woman, I am a mom, you are a devotee, like that. See how much it depends on that. So what happens when a person becomes very angry? He forgets there is a parent, there is a guru, there is a friend, there is somebody good. He will do like a ghost possessing that person. Smritir bhramsha, what happens? Buddhi nasha. Buddhi means understanding goes down. Buddhi means understanding. That is why dhiyo yonah prachodayat. Buddhi means understanding goes away. And once understanding goes away, buddhi nasha pranashyati. Vinasha agvidat. Vinasha andare, you know, he will be completely ruined. How many steps?
7 steps.
8 steps. 7. This is called psychology. It is nothing to do with the dharma. It is the workings of the mind.
Swamiji, I am getting only 7.
Okay. Dhyana.
Thinking.
Then sangha.
Attachment.
Then kama.
Desire.
Then krodha.
Anger.
Krodha, both sammoha, delusion.
Okay, delusion.
Delusion brings smriti bhramsha.
Understanding.
Wrong understanding.
Wrong understanding.
Memory, losing of memory, not understanding. Smriti bhramsha means he loses his memory. From smriti bhramsha, buddhi nasha.
Okay.
Buddhi nasha,
pranashyati.
8 steps, yes. Stumble down and rolling like a ball thrown from upstairs, he will in no time attain buddhi nasha. So, the 16th, the 17th, and part of 18th chapters is purely the nature of mind. Mind consists of 3 qualities, sattva, prajna, and tamas. It has nothing to do with the dharma. He is describing, if a person is endowed with sattva, these are the qualities. If a person is endowed, with rajas, then these are the his behavior will be like this. If he is endowed with tamas, he will be endowed with this kind of behavior. Pure psychology, yoga shastra. At the end of each chapter, we know what happens. Iti Upanishad, Brahma Vidyaya, Yoga Shastra, Sri Krishna Arjuna Samvade, and chapters. Yoga Shastra means what? The whole of Sankhya Yoga delineates the nature of the mind. The whole Yoga Shastra. No question of belief in God or anything. This is the nature of your mind. This is the nature of lower mind. This is the nature of higher mind. And if you want to be happy, you will have to lift from the lower nature to the higher nature. So I told you, Bhagavad Gita teaches 3 things. Depth psychology. And why do I call it depth psychology? Because modern psychology doesn't accept Purva Janma. So we are born with certain samskaras. Simple, the most appropriate example is the family of Ravanasura's parents. 3 children. Ravanasura, Vibhishana, Kumbhakar. Same parents, same family, same social environment. More or less they are born at the same time. Completely three different natures. When we say this is the nature of a person, what are we talking about? Mind, psychology. When we are talking about character, what are you talking about? What are the person's thoughts? What are his habits? How does he act and react? Is it not? Anybody, they're not necessarily a religious person. So, Bhagavad Gita teaches. Then second, it teaches dharma. So, we will talk about a little bit. What is the dharma? I will come to this subject. Then, of course, finally, it teaches about moksha. Why moksha? Moksha is not something alien to us. You know what is moksha? To know who I am. What is moksha? Just to know who I am. Not anything else. This is called moksha. So, if we do not know who we are, then we know who we are not. Madcap. He thinks I am Napoleon. So that person will be taken to a psychiatrist. So what is the problem with this man? He knows there is no absence of knowledge, but there is wrong knowledge. Instead of saying, I am a human being, he says, I am Napoleon. I am so and so, he says, I am somebody else. Now what is wrong with that? Suppose a person says, I am Napoleon, what is wrong with that? Our actions and reactions are dependent upon who we think we are. If I think I am a human being, I will behave like a human being. If I think I am a demon, I will behave like a demon. If I think I am divine, I will behave like a divine being. So what is it that we want? We want to become God. All of us want to become God. If you ask people, do you believe in God? There could be three answers. Yes, I believe in God. No, I do not believe in God. I do not know. But rephrase the question. Do you want to be happy? How many opinions will be?
Only one.
Only one. Everyone. Not only human beings. Even a small insect. Swami Vivekananda begins his Jnana Yoga class. The necessity of religion. He says, a huge locomotive is running at mind-boggling speed and there is a small insect and it is on their ears and it is trying to desperately to run off the rails. For what purpose? To escape. The huge locomotive, very huge, powerful, but it has no life, no consciousness. It doesn't run, it is run. We say it runs, the car runs. Car doesn't run, we make it run. Whereas every living creature has got only three desires. The only desire, I want to be God. But if I tell like that, you say, what are you talking about? What is this man talking about? Do I really want to become God? No, no, I never said I want to. That would be our normal reaction. But put it in a different way. Do you want to live or do you want to die? What would be the answer?
Live.
I want to live. Do you want to die?
No, definitely.
Not because some people want to die.
No, I will come to that. No, no one wants to die.
In fact, I want to die.
No, you don't want to die. You want to escape suffering. You do not wish to die. I will come to that. So, you ask next question. How long do you want to live?
Eternal.
See, eternal. That means what? I want to become?
Divine.
Mortal.
God. So you ask, do you want to be happy or unhappy?
Happy.
How much time you want to be unhappy? And how much happiness do you want? How much happiness is measurement? How long is time measurement? How long do you want to be happy? Forever. And how much do you want to be? Do you want to be happy only this much or infinite happy?
Infinite.
So we want to be infinitely happy and eternally happy. In other words, what do we want to become? God. Because what is God's name?
Ananta.
Sat. What is Sat?
That which is existing.
No death, eternal life. What is Chit? Infinite knowledge. What is Ananda? Infinite,
yes.
Eternal,
yes.
Joy. Is it not?
Yes, ma'am.
This is what we all naturally, we all desire. There is nobody who doesn't want these things. But if you say, do you believe in God? They say, some people say, we believe, some people say, etc., etc. But every creature wants to live and to be happy. To desire to live forever is called Sat. Desire to be always happy is called Ananda. So, desire to be forever is called Sat. Desire to be always happy is called Ananda. Where comes Chit? Chit means, unless we are aware that we are alive and happy. Do you get what I am talking about? I have to know that I am alive. Otherwise, when I am in sleeping, the others know that I am alive. I will not know I am alive. So every moment we are aware, the first thing is, we are aware that I am alive. Okay, what about happiness? Do you know, do you get unconscious happiness? Is there something called unconscious happiness? Or only when you are aware you are happy?
At present, we are aware and happy, Swamiji.
My point is, nobody can say, I am either happy or unhappy, unless the person is
alive.
Say, for example, you like to eat nice sweet. You are in deep sleep. Somebody brings the sweet, puts in your mouth. Will it make you happy?
Mm-hmm. No.
Yes. It will never make you happy. You will have to be aware that I am eating a sweet, I like this sweet. So it is that idea of liking which will make you happy. This is a depth psychology. Suppose somebody, you like, for example, my sofa. Somebody brings a sweet, it is not my sofa. Outside it is appearing like a my sofa. When you look at it, you will only see Mysore Pak, your idea. Until you eat it, you will not know that it is Mysore. The very sight of that will make your BP rise. BP means?
Blood pressure.
Blood pressure. Blood pressure is different. That is also BP. Blood pressure. And most of our happiness comes only by experiencing, by imagining. This is called depth psychology. I'll tell you a small story. I'm deviating right now, but these are very important concepts. Happiness is not in the object. Happiness is in our imagination. There was a village. In that village, there was a young man and a young woman. And they were in love. They want to meet. But do you know what is a village? A village is where everybody knows everybody else's effect. This is called village. What is a city? where nobody knows about anybody. This is courtesy. Then your neighbors will not know if you are alive or dead or whatever. This is courtesy. So these two people, they want to meet each other and enjoy each other. They can't do it in the village. So one day they decided they will meet outside the village at night, 10 o'clock, under a banyan tree. So the man went. It was dark. He saw his beloved waiting for him. So he went and tightly embraced. For a few seconds, he was in Brahmananda. Few seconds. And suddenly, something started to trouble him. Something started to prick him. So he opened his eyes. By that time, moon also has come out. And he found it was a black bear. This serves my purpose. What is it? It's our imagination. That is happiness, not what is there outside. So through habits, we develop certain kinds of imagination. Sweet, for example. So is there happiness in the sweet, or the happiness is in me?
In me.
Yeah, this is what Bhagavad Gita, there is no happiness anywhere. For that matter, there is no unhappiness also anywhere. It is my thinking which makes me either happy or unhappy. What does that imply? It implies that if I can change my mind, I can be happy all the time with any object in this world. So how can I do that? If I can perceive God in any object. God, what is the nature of God? Sat
Chit
Ananda. Then it will give me happiness. Every object will give me happiness. Because every object is nothing but God. So to develop that realization is the goal of Bhagavad Gita. So we have learned an important point here. What is the point here? Just now we discussed.
Happiness.
Both happiness or unhappiness. And then the first point is in our minds, within us, not outside. No object can give me happiness or unhappiness unless I make it. See, I hate somebody. Because of some experience. The moment I see that object, I become very unhappy. But what happens in the case of people like Holy Mother? That's why my best illustration, whenever we are studying scripture, we have to relate to Thakur Maharaja. I will pose you a question. Supposing Genghis Khan, Saddam Hussein, Hitler, Stalin, all these people, or say even Ravanasura comes up, come to Holy Mother. In our eyes, what are they?
Rakshasas.
Wicked people. Rakshasas. In her eyes, what are they?
That is said, I have to watch.
So what is it? You have to be very clear. You know, one of the points when I take a class, I want you to think clearly, understand clearly. No cobwebs should be there in the mind. When we say that these are all children of Holy Mother, what exactly do we mean by that? An ordinary woman, a mother, also sees children. A dog also sees her children only. It gives up its life if it thinks that someone is trying to injure the ones. Yes, dogs attack. So, when we are saying that in the Holy Mother's eyes, nobody is a Rakshasa, everybody is her child. And who is she? Holy Mother. What do you mean by Holy Mother?
She's so pure by her.
She is so holy, she sees nothing but
purity,
holiness in everybody. Divinity, in other words, divinity. Sri Ramakrishna, what do you think he will see in everybody? What do you think he will see? You see, there is saying, Brahmavit Brahmaiva Bhavati. A knower of Brahman becomes Brahman. Now, this knower of Brahman becomes Brahman. Brahman means God. In the eyes of God, will there be anything other than God? In the eyes of God, there will be nothing else excepting God. God is incapable of seeing anything other than God. You get the idea? Holy Mother is God, Ramakrishna is God, Vivekananda was God. No, we don't use those terms. But they were all realized souls, Jivan Muktas. What do you mean by Jivan Mukta?
Free from.
He knows I am Brahman. Not only he knows he is Brahman, he also knows everyone, everything else is nothing but Brahman. This is the greatest teaching. That is why Swami Vivekananda addressed the Parliament of Religions. Listen ye, children of immortal bliss. Shunvan Purishve Amrutasya Putra Aye Ramani Vijyanitas Vedahametam Purusham Mahantam Aditya Varnam Tamasat Parasta Tameva Viditva Atimurti Umedhi Nanya Pantha Vidyate Ayanai. Here ye, children of immortal bliss, even ye who are the denizens of the higher world, I have realized that Purusha who is beyond all darkness, Tamasaha Parastha. Who is that Tamasaha Parastha? Light. Light means what? When we use the word light, what do we mean by light?
Brightness.
Do you see light?
Yes, ma'am.
You don't see light. Light is not something that can be seen. Neither do you see darkness.
It's a form.
Light is that because of which presence we see everything. Darkness is that which conceals, hides, covers up everything. These are concepts. And you must be knowing, you are a scientist. You should be knowing.
I am not a scientist. Only.
So if you go beyond the stratosphere, astronauts, do you know? There is not this bit of light. It's complete pitch darkness, frightening darkness. Do you know why? They can see the sun. They can see the stars. But in between, there's complete darkness. Whereas, as soon as sun rises, we see everything. Do you know why? Because for the light to be experienced, there must be some object. So here is, you know, this is, I'm sitting here, you can see me.
Yes, ma'am.
You can see the chair. But in between me and you, there is some emptiness here. But you see something here, isn't it? You see the even the so-called emptiness. How are you able to see it? Because it is filled with dust particles. And that dust particle, it reflects off light. Whereas in the above the stratosphere, there is no dust. Because there is no dust, even though light is there, light requires a medium to reflect. Now you understand?
Yes, ma'am.
Light is not something which can be experienced. We know there is light when we know there is an object. When there is no object, that means when we are not able to see an object even though it is there, it is called darkness. Anyway, these are concepts you will have to learn slowly.
Yes.
So what am I driving at? Light means knowledge. Darkness means ignorance. Knowledge and ignorance. That is why we pray every day, Jyoti ra Jyoti Ujjvala Nidhi Gandha. Just because the topic came, I just deviate for one second. Ram Krishna means God. God is the light of the lights. Why light up, right? There is a light. But if I close my eyes, can I see anything? That means I am required even to experience the light. Do you get my idea? What I am talking about? You see, this room is completely pitch dark. Can you see anything? That is called darkness, pitch darkness. But suppose somebody puts on the light, suddenly you see all things, the chairs, the carpet, is it not? But even when there is such a light, when this inner light means my awareness is not there, then you won't see anything. Have you noticed?
Yes, I have.
I want you to understand clearly, if your awareness is absent, suppose you have this brilliant light, you are in deep sleep, what do you see?
Nothing.
Why is it that you are not able to see?
Because I am not.
Because your light is there, but you are not experiencing the light. So this outside light is necessary, but more necessary is me, who is able to objectify, experience the light. That is why Sri Ramakrishna said, Jyoti ra Jyoti, the light of the lights. And what is spiritual light? To develop the inner light. Anyway, these are concepts. Slowly we build up these things. Now coming back, well, first I want to complete. I said Gita and Gayatri. So Gayatri, what is Gayatri? It's a prayer. Oh Lord, I pray to you, you enlighten my understanding. Means give me right understanding. Prayer. Now you see the picture of Bhagavad Gita. There is a chariot, there are horses rearing to go, and Krishna Bhagavan holding the reins, and Arjuna kneeling down. This is the picture you see. So what is the meaning of? Arjuna is praying, like we are praying, Riyo Yonaha Prajodaya. Give me right understanding. What was Arjuna's prayer? Give me right understanding. Was confused. Give me right understanding. The moment we say, give me right understanding, then comes the next one. Somebody has to be there. That is Bhagavan Krishna. You understand now? So Krishna represents divinity. Arjuna surrendered himself. That is called prayer. What is prayer?
Surrender.
And what is surrender? Simply saying, I surrender myself to you. Is it surrender?
No.
The ability to receive what the other person is able to give us is called surrender. God wants to give. Mother wants to give. But I am not ready. Children are not ready. Sadhana is meant for to get ready, so that we get the Divine Mother's abundant grace. So in this comparison, that Arjuna represents each needy, prayerful soul. Bhagavan Krishna represents the giver of grace. This is what Gayatri Mudra precisely means. If we have right understanding, we will be the happiest person. What is right understanding? What is final right understanding? There are two steps to this understanding. The first step is, I am an individual, I am Jivatma, you are Paramatma, I am less, you are all, I am a part, you are the whole, I lack, but you are the giver. I am the receiver, you are the giver. I am ready to receive, you please grant me the receipt. This is the lowest of what? Understanding. What is the higher understanding? I am Parma. By your grace, I understand. Aham Brahmasmi. This is the real understanding. This is the goal of all evolution. Okay. Slowly we will develop these ideas. I don't want to confuse you all of a sudden. This is the Samya analogy, comparison between Gayatri Mantra and the picture of Bhagavad Gita. Now, what is the chariot? Our body. What are the horses? Our mind and senses. If there is a chariot, it is meant for what?
To ride. To run, drive.
Journey. A journey must have a destination point and a starting point, isn't it? So what is the starting point? Wherever I am, that is the starting point. Where is the destination? To know who I am. Atmagna, that is the destination. So this is how Gayatri Mantra also takes one to the self-knowledge. Bhagavad Gita also takes one to the self-knowledge. That point is clear?
Yes, sir.
Next point, we said Anubandha Chatushtayi. Before we undertake the study of any scripture, we must ask ourselves four questions. What is my real purpose? Prayojana. Am I a adhikari? Am I a fit person to undertake this endeavor? Then what is the subject between what I want and what I am studying? If I want to become a doctor, then there is no need to study Bhagavad Gita. If I want to be a medical student, what should I study? Medicine. Medicine is the subject. And medical books are the books which convey that particular. So Vishaya means subject. What is my subject here?
Bhagavad Gita.
Bhagavad Gita. What is my Prayojana? Atmagnana. And am I a fit person? We'll come to that. Am I a fit person?
Okay.
Then what is the relationship between Bhagavad Gita and Atmagnana? Because Bhagavad Gita teaches nothing but Brahma Jnana, Atma Jnana, whatever you call it, that is the real purpose. So this point is clear. Now who is an adhikari? Are we adhikaris? In a way, yes. In a way, no. But we would wish to become adhikaris. What are these steps? First of all, I must be very sincere. Second, I must be very serious. Third, I must have nishtha. Fourth, I must have shraddha. If I have these four qualifications, I am an adhikari. So tell me, what did I tell you just now?
Sincere.
I must be very sincere. Sincerity means what? I don't want anything else. It's called sincere. I must be serious. Means what? I must be devoting my energies, time, everything only for one purpose. And not deviate from my subject. This is called seriousness. What is the third one I said?
Nishtha.
Nishtha. What is the nishtha? What is the meaning of nishtha? Nishtha means to do what the Guru asks us to do. Here in the case, Bhagavad Gita, or Bhagavan Krishna. Bhagavad Gita means what? Teaching. Who gave this teaching?
Krishna.
So therefore, nishtha means whatever the Guru says, in this case, Arjuna's Guru was
Krishna.
Krishna. In our case also, whenever we take initiation, or even without taking initiation, if you come to a Swami and ask for an advice, you must fulfill these conditions. Oh, I just came. Why did you come? I just came to meet you. So I will ask you, how to attain samadhi? Are you serious? No, no, no. I just do it, came, met you, and I am asking you this question. This kind of thing you will not do. So what is nishtha? Once the guru says, the person will do until he dies. He will not give up. I'll tell you beautiful story. Whenever we talk about people, I'll tell you some nice stories. Ramanujacharya, he was one of the greatest Vaishnava gurus in his time. In fact, he was the leader of the Vaishnava community in South India. He had a disciple. Ramanujacharya was about 30. There was a Brahmana who was nearly 80 years old. And he came and took initiation from Ramanuja. Guru is young and disciple is old. Now, after initiation, Sishya had to give Guru Dakshina. So he asked, Guruji, what Guru Dakshina can I give? Listen carefully. What the Guru said. You see, every day, Ramanuja was telling to his disciple, every day, early morning I go to the temple. At about 1 o'clock I return. And the way I return to my home, on the way is your house. You sit there, outside your house. I will come, wash your feet, drink the water. This is the Guru Dakshina you have to offer to me. Because this is the custom. When we see elderly Brahmins, we should wash their feet and drink the water. Even now, there is Pada Puja, we call, you know, people do it in South India. It is quite common. North India, South India. So the disciple said, if that is what you want, Guru Dakshina from me, I will do it. So that Brahmana, every day, without taking food from morning, he will be waiting with his feet. Ramanujacharya would pass that way, sometimes 12 o'clock, sometimes 1 o'clock, sometimes 2 o'clock. But until the Guru comes, he will not take food. Guru will come, he will wash his feet, he will drink and says, now you go and have your food. Many years passed. One day, Ramanujacharya, he was worried about something. He forgot about this. He went to his home by some other way. And at midnight, before going to bed, suddenly he remembered. Today, I have not washed my this. It was not disciple's feet. It is an elderly Brahmana's feet. He knew that Brahmana is so nishtavan, he will not go away from there. He must not have had food whole day. Immediately he hurried there, only a few minutes. Saw the man, patient, he knew his guru will come. Then quickly he washed his feet and then he said, I'm sorry, I forgot today about it. This is called nishtha. The other story I told you, Shabari. Guru told her, Rama will come. Wait. Don't go anywhere, just wait. And she waited until the last day of her life. This is called Shabari Diksha, they call it. Shabari Nishtha. Nishtha, Guru's words. This is called Nishtha. What Guru says, I will do it. I'm not getting any result. Doesn't matter. Guru told me, I will do it. This is called Nishtha. This is the third qualification. What is the fourth one?
Shraddha.
Shraddha. Shraddha means what? Whatever my Guru told. Guru Shastra Vakyeshu Satya Buddhi Avadharana. Shankaracharya has written wonderful books. One of the books, most famous book, is called Viveka Chudamani. Heard about it? In that Viveka Chudamani, he gives definitions of all the sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. Of them, Shraddha. Shraddha means There is no English word for Shraddha. I will discuss it shortly. There is no English translation. Faith is the nearest word. Faith is not a correct translation. We use the word faith and belief. But there is a vast difference between these words, belief and this faith. What is the difference? What we control is called belief. You know, I believe in scriptures, I believe in Sri Ramakrishna, I believe in Swamiji. But this belief will be going up and down, depending upon my circumstance. Something good is happening, okay, Guru Maharaj is there, God is there, He is listening to my prayers. And if something, my God doesn't seem to answer my prayer, I lose my faith. So called belief, isn't it? That is called belief. Faith means it controls us like a possession. You have no choice. It will make you. Madness is an example. A madman behaves madly. Why? Because he is possessed. Avivesha. Nachiketa. Talking about Katopanishad Nachiketa. The Katopanishad says, Shraddha. Shraddha descended, possessed him. Bhuta Pishacha, Avesha Matvala. Andre, the man has no choice. It will make him so madcap. He is helpless. Some idea possesses him. You understand what I am trying to tell? So that which possesses us is called Shraddha. And that which we possess is called belief. So long as we have belief, we cannot make real progress. The Shraddha comes by God's grace. Shraddha comes only by God's grace. When we do what best we can do, following the teachings of the scriptures, that is called belief. And God will be pleased. Then He grants us. When God grants His compassion, grace, the first thing that happens is Shraddha. Somehow we have faith in the scriptures. So, Shankaracharya defines Guru Shastra Vakyeshu. Guru's words and Shastra's words. Satya Buddhi, they are absolutely true. Avadharana, this understanding is called Shraddha. What a beautiful definition. So, four qualifications for on the part of the sadhaka or student. He must be sincere, he must be serious, he must be having nishtha, means do every single day, and he must possess complete Shraddha. If a person possesses these four, he is called what?
Adhikar.
This is what we discussed. Now you said you studied, what did you also study? 2 years? Bhagavad Gita?
Shankar Maharaj Bhagavad Gita.
Okay. So, there are first 2 chapters, because I don't want to go through all that again, but we will go through the essence. The first chapter, what is it called?
Shraddha Yoga.
Arjuna Vishada Yoga. Oh, 3 words are there. Arjuna means, who is an Arjuna? Every single human being is a Arjuna. Vishada means what?
Grief.
Every human being. Goes every living creature, everything that is born, undergoes 6 changes. This is called Shadurmi. Shad means 6. Urmi means ale. Sagara dale gal hard in the way. So, changes. Waves means they come, they go, they change. That's why they are called waves. So, 6 changes. What are they? Conception, birth, growth, old age, disease, and complete disappearance. Anything, living, non-living, has to go through these 6.
Conception, birth, growth, death.
Conception,
birth, growth, disease, death.
Old age.
Old age.
Old age. species and death.
This one.
Every human being, every living creature has to go through this. It is only human being who questions. So this is called schedule. Schedule people. There are two types of griefs. I would say three types of griefs. Not so. What was Buddha talking about? You heard about Buddha. What is four Aryan noble teachings? What are they? Life is full of suffering. First. Second, that there is no way man or he says Krishna or desire. Desire is the only cause of suffering. Desire is the cause of birth. Birth is full of suffering. Human life is full, life is full of suffering. Life cannot be without birth. So what is the cause of suffering? Krishna, tanha, desire. So what is the way to get out? Removal of
desire.
And how to remove the desire? Eightfold way. This is called Eightfold Teachings of Bhagavan. That is the fourth noble truth. First noble truth, life is full of
suffering.
Second, what is the root cause of suffering?
Desire.
Krishna, tanha. So if we want to get out, what is the, you remove the cause, you remove the
effect.
So you what is the effect? Suffering. So what is the cause?
Desire.
Krishna, desire. So therefore, if you don't want to suffer, you will have to get rid of what?
Eightfold things.
Desire.
That is the only way. How to remove the desire? Destroy desire. Eightfold. What are the eightfold ways? First, right understanding. Second, right sankalpa. Then, right livelihood, right speech, and right behavior. And then, right concentration and right meditation. Eightfold way. Just you can do it later. You will get it in the internet. You will get all those things. Now, what is my point? That only a person who goes, who understands really that life is full of misery. Basically, general misery. Krishna. If I don't have Krishna, I will not have rebirth at all. So, if I want moksha, I must get rid of
misery.
Okay, how can I get rid of desire? Only by knowing who I am. If my nature is to be having desire, there is no way you can overcome desire. But my nature is infinite. Infinity cannot have desire. Then I can get rid of desire. The root cause of desires will be three. First, it is the nature, existential nature of the world. In this world, sukha, dukha is common. If there is sukha, if there is cold, there will be
heat.
If there is a friend, there will be an enemy. So if there is birth, there will be
death.
If there is light, there will be
darkness.
Inevitable. This is what Buddha was talking about. But the second cause of suffering is called karmic suffering. What is the difference between? Some people are enjoying, some people are suffering more. What is the cause? Existential suffering is common to everybody. Even Sri Ramakrishna, if it is hot, it will be hot for him only. If it is cold, it will be cold. If there are mosquitoes, there will be mosquitoes. So if Sri Ramakrishna and a poor man is sitting, mosquitoes don't make any differentiation. They are samadarshis. If at all, they prefer Ramakrishna. You know why? Because he will not be aware. The other fellow will be protecting himself. Ramakrishna, you know, he is thinking of God, he is in samadhi, so mosquitoes have a gala time. So they always prefer gala time. How much time shall we go on? You still went there?
Another 5 minutes, Swamiji, then I'll leave.
Yeah. So, what is the first cause of suffering? The nature, the very nature of
existence.
What is the second cause of suffering? Karmic. Within this, it is very hot. But somebody has a lot of money. He can install one air conditioner. So his suffering will be less. This is called karmic effect. This is the second cause. I said there is a third cause. The third cause is God's grace. When God's grace comes, then He will create special suffering. Out of grace. Why does God create suffering? Because He wants us to get rid of attachment. We will never get rid of attachment unless God destroys our attachment. For example, here is a man. He wants to become a devotee, but he is attached to his property. One day God will remove his property. Now, within a day, now his little mind, which was attached to the property, will also go to God. These are the three causes. Note down and keep in mind. We will discuss in future also.
Special suffering since? Because God wants to remove the attachment.
When God loves somebody, then He will specially remove all those things which are standing as obstruction between Him and the devotee.
But how we will know it's God's thing or our karmic suffering? We can differentiate.
We can differentiate because when a person is very good, he has not done anything wrong, and at the same time suddenly something up. I'll give you examples. Shudhiram. Nobody can think he was a wicked person. Whole life he was devoted only to Satya. And suddenly, one so-called Jamindar took away all his property, 33 acres of land, his house, everything that belonged to him in the Dere village, totally is gone. It is all God's will. Why? God says, I want to come and be born in your life. So I don't want this attachment. Anyway, so Arjuna, Bhishma. Now, many people suffer in this world, but they don't turn to God. They seek temporary solutions. All worldly people do that. But there is a person, he believes in God, he understands the truth. He says that, I only want God. I have suffered enough. I don't want a solution. I want God. So, when Vishada makes a person permanently turn towards God, that Vishada becomes a yoga. What is yoga? That which takes us to God is called yoga. If karma takes us to God, that is called
karma.
If bhakti takes us to God, bhakti
yoga.
If concentration takes us to God, that is called Raja Yoga. If knowledge takes us to God, that is called? If Vishada takes us to God, that is called?
Vishada.
That is why it is very important to understand why the first chapter has been termed. Arjuna started like an ordinary person, suffered like an ordinary person, but very soon, quickly, he understood. I can remove my suffering, but so long as I am alive, it will come again. But permanent removal of suffering can be done only by realization of God. Therefore, he thought he found out the solution. Then we will discuss in future. Then he understood, this is a temporary solution. No, I want a permanent solution. So he turned towards God and said, Sishyasteham Shadimam Kvam Prapan. This is why the first chapter has been named
Vishada Yoga.
So what is the lesson we have to learn? If we want permanent removal of Vishada, then we must turn towards God. There is no other way. This is the lesson. That is why very important. Nobody can become a yogi unless he turns towards God. And nobody will turn towards God unless he wants to get rid of things permanently. Otherwise, Tirupati, Venkateshwara Mathas, they want permanent removal or temporary removal?
Temporary.
Only temporary removal. So he will be also in dilemma. Because two opposing political parties, both go and Mukunda. He is now in dilemma whom to
support.
Support. He is also clever, you know. This term I will support you, next term I will support.